Well, today, as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, I think back to when we were all baptized and how probably most of us can't remember our baptisms. We have to rely solely on pictures, on stories, and a life of faith to know what baptism means for our lives. And if you are here with us today and you aren't baptized, consider this your open invitation to come and be baptized here. In our sermon today, we're going to look at what happened in Jesus' baptism and also what happens in our baptisms, what we promise to God and what God promises to us. Well, when Jesus came to be baptized, he wasn't very well known yet. He hadn't done anything yet. He had been born, right, as the Savior, and the heavens opened on that day as well as they did on the day of his baptism. But he's kind of been mostly laying low since then. But he comes to be baptized by his cousin John, and he hasn't performed any miracles. He hasn't even said a word yet in the Gospel of Matthew. These words that he says to John are the first words he speaks. Jesus has just shown up for his baptism, and the heavens open, and God says, "With you I am well pleased." So what does this mean for us? First of all, I think it means that we should be humble. Even if you think you are God, there are times you need to just bow out and let others lead. Jesus did it. We can too. I think we also learn that we need to listen to Jesus, because God's plan can feel kind of backwards at times. It certainly did to John the Baptist, who straight up said to Jesus, "This is wrong. You should be baptizing me, not the other way around." And he is right to recognize Jesus's power, but Jesus says this is necessary to fulfill God's plan. And John listens to him, and he does the thing that feels backwards. And by doing this, he follows God's plan for him and for Jesus. We also learn that God's plan can be slow. Just this past week on January 6th, we marked Epiphany, the day when the Magi finally completed their long journey that started at Jesus' birth to see the Savior and to bring him those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And now it's a few decades later, and Jesus is just getting started on God's plan for him. He didn't use the specialness of his birth or the recognition of the Magi until the timing was right. Instead, he went out into the wilderness, the same place God's people had wandered for 40 years, to see his definitely out there cousin, so that he could be baptized and truly begin to fulfill God's purpose for him. So if you feel like you're waiting around for God's plan for you, remember that you are in good company. God's timing is different than ours and usually much slower than we want. And finally, we learn that God keeps his promises. That suffering servant that God's people had heard about in Isaiah for many, many, many years was finally here. The world is changed because of his life, death, and resurrection. And God's grace is open to the whole world, not just the people God chose from the beginning. God has done a new thing, but something that God had promised for hundreds of years. In baptism, in Raylan's baptism today, God makes promises to her and to us. And we hear those promises read at the beginning of the baptism service, and I'm going to take us through those now. We hear that God is rich in mercy and love. God's grace and mercy are new every morning, just as the promises of baptism are new for us every day of our lives. And God's mercy is bigger than any mistake that we can make. God is rich in mercy and love. There is plenty to go around, and it will never run out. In baptism, we hear that God gives us a new birth into a living hope. And I included in this picture here some notes my friend sent me from a conference she is at this week, doing some Bible study. And we were talking about my dad, who has Alzheimer's. And it's a pretty hopeless disease, if any of you have ever had a loved one go through that, but she reminded me that through God, our hope says to our despair that you are real, but you are not final. No matter what happens to us in this world, our hope is in a living God, a God who beat even death, who promises us new life, eternal life with him. Because in baptism, God delivers us from sin and death. And I love this picture of this boat kind of on the side of a little stream, not just because it looks awesome on this snowy, cold Wisconsin morning, but because it just makes me feel protected. It makes me feel safe. And it reminds me, the Bible verse reminds me that God is the one who does that for us. We find refuge and relief from the things in the world that bring us down because of our baptisms. We have a guarantee knowing that God cares for us and protects us and will bring us to eternal life and restore our souls. In baptism, God raises us to new life in Jesus. That's why we're all here, because Jesus was raised from the dead, and we will be too. In our baptisms, we're united to Christ's death and his resurrection, and we're joined into the body of Christ. And we have a picture here of us worshiping with our partner church, All People. And in church, in God's family, we're united together with people of all backgrounds, all ages, all abilities, all gifts. And there are so many differences that we have between us in this world. But one thing that unifies us is our baptism. And I think God planned it that way. God brings us together at the font. In baptism, we're anointed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Look at these gifts up here. Some of them are cut off. That one on the bottom is knowledge, and then the purple one is reverence. So these are gifts that we get through the Spirit. Just as the Spirit came down for Jesus in his baptism, God gifts us with that in our baptism as well. What gifts do you have from God that you see on this list? And how are you using them in this world for God? In baptism, then, we're joined to God's mission for the life of the world. I had a meeting this week with some other leaders from our synod, and we were discussing how we serve God. And somebody brought up that really most of the things we do every day are pretty mundane. We go to the grocery store. We cart kids around. We care for aging parents or partners. We pray. We take care of a baby, right? All day. These little things that we do that take up our lives might seem insignificant, but these are ways that we serve and care for God by serving and caring for others as well. So how are you a part of God's mission in your life, in the things you do every day, and in the life of our church? As we think about baptism, and what we promise in baptism, I was thinking about, my baptism, which that's my lovely 80s style baptism there, with my parents and sponsors, and then also my son's baptism, which we marked the anniversary of this week on Baptism of Our Lord Sunday, so good choice. How our parents and sponsors promise things for us, and then we promise those things for our children, and the circle continues, that cycle of faith passed down through generations, just as it is for Raylan today. And one of the promises that we make in baptism is that we will live among God's faithful people. And so congratulations, you're doing that one right now. Good job. We promise to come to church and to be a part of God's family here. In baptism, we promise that we will hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper. And aren't you glad you have such captivating preachers here at Grace? We gather to be fed by that word, to hear it, to grow in faith and understand what baptism means for us. And when we share the Lord's Supper, God, we are eating together. We are being fed. We are claimed as God's children in our baptisms. And God wants us to be fed and grow. I don't know about you, but my kids want to eat like every day, like multiple times throughout the day. It's part of growing and caring for each other. And that is what communion is for us. God wants to feed us and care for us and help us to grow. In our baptisms, we promise, or affirmation of baptisms, we promise that we will proclaim the good news of Christ through word and deed. And one of the ways we do that is through things like children's messages, through going to Sunday school, through Christian education, because we can't proclaim the good news if we don't know the good news. We need to learn what the word means for us. We also promise to God that we will serve all people following the example of Jesus. One of the blessings of a church community is that it brings us lots of opportunities for service. And here are a couple ways from God's Work Our Hands Day here at Grace that we serve others. So how do you do that here? We also promise that we will strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Now, this is a huge goal and something that we will never fully realize, but we are called to be engaged in it. We pray for peace and justice, and we work for it through things like our relationship with the Circle of Empowerment in Nicaragua and sending donations down to help care for God's people there. When we care for all God's people, we help bring about that peace and justice of Christ in our world. So in just a little bit of water and a few words, our lives change. Those few words and those little drops of water hold a lot of meaning and promise for us. God changed Jesus' life at his baptism, and God changes our life here too. God promises to love us as his beloved children, and we promise to be a part of what God is doing in the world. So take a moment now to pray. To thank God for being faithful to us, for loving us, forgiving us, guiding us, challenging and blessing us. And then ask God, what are you calling me to do to serve you more this week? Amen.